Welcome to the podcast. This episode is brought to you by Maison Beljanski, providing natural supplements for helping your body's healing and wellness, inspired by over 40 years of groundbreaking research. Everybody, welcome back. Today I am joined by Aaron DeMarinis. We're both actually here in Florida, just a few hours away from each other. You're over in Tampa, right, Aaron?
Yep,
I'm here in Jacksonville, and appreciate you coming on a podcast today. Excited to talk with you. You're a longtime vegan, triathlete, entrepreneur. You actually sent me some of your Good Mood Foods is your company, right? The energy. I think they were energy balls.
Energy bites.
They're little. Yeah, they look like little balls, right? They were really, really delicious, by the way, like super good. I try a lot of those kind of, you know, bites and things like that made out of dates and nuts and seeds. And, you know, some of them are good, some are not so good. A lot of them are kind of in the middle, in my opinion, but you figured out a recipe that's amazing. So thanks for sending those. Those are really good.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very proud of this product.
How long have you been vegan, and how long have you been a triathlete? And tell me a little bit about kind of your background as an athlete.
Well, I've been a vegan for probably 25 years now. So all of my adult life, really. I became vegan because I was a triathlete, and I was on a triathlon team, and my coach was, I call him secretly vegan because he never told me that he was vegan, but we were out for this really long run one day. And he said, "What's your biggest complaint with training?" And I was like, "I don't really have any." I said, "But sometimes I can get congested when I'm on some long runs." And he goes, "Oh, you're probably lactose intolerant." And I was like, "Well, I don't really eat a lot of dairy in my family, but maybe since so many Americans and humans are lactose intolerant." He says, "All I want you to do is for 3 days, give up dairy." And I was like, "Sure, that seems like an easy thing to do." And in 3 days on our next epic long run, I could feel like this clarity, and I could feel like a lightness. And I was like, how? That's the only thing I did was take the dairy out. And I really didn't eat much dairy. So the fact that I took out the little that I ate really was such an eye-opening experience for me, like light bulb moment. I was like, oh, okay. And then he proceeded to tell me he was vegan, and we sort of went down that rabbit hole. It changed my life. I mean, I was like, how can food be so impactful? What else is going on? So then he sort of led me down the path of becoming vegan. So it's been a long time. And I was a triathlete for about 15 straight years. And, you know, when you're putting that kind of output as an athlete like that, swimming, biking, running every day, and then weights. And yeah, I mean, it's a lot, and racing and traveling to race. And, you know, you need to understand nutrition in a whole different light. And as a vegan, I knew that he was doing it, and he was a very successful athlete. So I've really followed in his footsteps, and it led me on this whole journey. So it was such a blessing.
I think that's one of the benefits of being, you know, an athlete or very athletic, considering yourself an athlete, or even competing for fun, right? Like being performance mindset based, like as plant-based or as a vegan, because you tend to put more focus on your nutrition. And because you do that, you learn more, you're open-minded, you're like, all right, I need to fuel my performance, I want to feel better, recover better, perform better. So you're like, okay, how do I do that, right? And you learn some basics, and you can go deep and spend thousands of hours, as I've done, and you probably spend a lot of time, right, like going really, really deep into nutrition and performance and things like that, and see what really supports. And then it's like the more knowledge you have around it, the better choices you're going to make with your food, right? Pre-fueling 100%. Your workouts, make sure you're getting, you know, high quality carbs, for example, protein, make sure you're getting a protein. Like, and then you figure out, okay, where do I get these sources of foods, right? When do I take fats, and how much fat should I eat? You know, and then you're not just eating. I mean, some people do as who are athletic, but I think the more serious as an athlete you become, the less junk foods you actually eat in general. I'm generalizing, right?
Yep.
But a lot of people choose plant-based or vegan because they want to be healthier as well. And so it ties in really nicely, where I know a lot of vegans today who struggle on a vegan diet because they haven't learned like a well-balanced approach. And then after 5, 10, 15 years, then they have health issues and they blame the vegan diet and they go, "Oh, it was the vegan diet." So then they, switch to carnivore or some other thing and then say, "Oh, the vegan diet was actually really bad for me. My hair fell out, my teeth fell out," whatever stories that they have. And every single client that I've coached, and I always ask these questions too. I said, "Okay, what were you eating?" I've never met one person that was on a vegan or plant-based diet and said that it failed them, that I didn't find at least one or oftentimes 3 to 5 major things, major pitfalls that they were not doing correctly. Even though they told me at the beginning of that conversation, "Oh, I was doing the healthiest diet possible." Every single person I've talked to, and literally who's told me that, and then we dig into it, it's like there are multiple things wrong with what they're doing. And it wasn't their fault, they just didn't know,
Right.
And so for you to be athletic, performing, 25 years vegan and still thriving today, like that's a huge testament to what you've been able to do. And I'd love to know, and maybe you can share with our listeners and viewers, like what are some of those core principles that have supported you over the last 2.5 decades to be able to thrive? What are some learning mistakes, and then what are some of the core principles that you follow?
I mean, I don't think anybody's diet is truly perfect, but I think it's evolving. And the more I dig into like the whole food plant-based is where I feel and I thrive the best. And that's taken some time. You know, there were certainly many years where I was, probably eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and maybe just not including enough really whole foods into my protocol on a daily basis. And sort of that's been the last couple of years have I really focused and like really honed in on the whole food plant-based. Not that I wasn't already dabbling in it for all of these years, of course. I mean, I love every vegetable that exists except for okra. I hate okra.
Isn't that
But
funny? It's like either you love okra or you hate it, from my experience. I do not like okra. Like I just,
yeah,
when you
it's
cook
so
it, that
weird.
texture, that slimy, like there's not much
Yeah.
flavor. It's just like, I'm like, now I've eaten okra out of a field, a garden. We had a big like farm in Arizona and eaten it fresh, just raw. And actually it wasn't too bad. But like every time I've ever had it cooked, I'm just like, oh, this is awful. I can't eat it.
Yeah, it's like the strangest vegetable. I don't know. It's like those mini corns, whatever that those little corns are. I'm like, I don't get this, but I think
So
everybody
other
has.
than okra, you love vegetables.
I do, and I eat them. I eat a lot of them. And once you can tie your diet into how you feel all the time, it's like how do you not eat like that 90% of the time, right? Like who doesn't want to feel good all the time? Like as a health coach and a trainer and a vegan hospitality consultant and all these jobs that I do and podcasting and all of these things, like I have to be on a lot. And I don't want to fake it with a cup of coffee, right? Like I want to live and breathe what I am also preaching because I know how it feels all the time. So it's like I want to give that gift to people. It's like I have no issues with worrying about how much I weigh and how my skin looks. Like all of these things fall into the same category of what we're eating, and people forget that. It's like this is attached to the rest of us, and it's like, who are you tricking by, starving yourself or going on some kind of weight loss drug? And it's like, I wish I could really just give everybody a blueprint. Like it's not as hard as I think people make it out to be. Like how many grams of protein? Don't worry about that so much. How about like what the quality of the food that you are ingesting on a daily basis? How is that affecting your mood? And are you taking time to make sure you are eating organic and that you're eating carbs? Because everybody is so obsessed with protein. It's like they forget about fiber and like quality carbs. And And those are things that are great for our brains and energy. And it's like, we gotta change the system here. Like it's not easy, but it's not as hard as I think everybody makes it seem. And you know, you walk this life too. It's like, and your protein powder. So I'm not a huge protein shake person, but your powder is the first one that I've had that I love. And I love because you also put adaptogens in it. And adaptogens are huge for me. It's in my coffee. It's in my protein powder now. It's in my bites. So adaptogens are obviously, for people who are listening and don't know, these are things that had to adapt over time. And they have so many great properties that help with anxiety, sleep, mood, energy. And I wish people could understand that including that in your diet then also helps with you being a better athlete, a better partner, a better parent, a better coworker. And all of these things help with a lot of issues that people struggle with, like sleep and depression and anxiety. So I think in the last couple of years, as we're learning more about adaptogens and a whole food plant-based, I think this is kind of where my personal journey is sort of heading into too. It's like, I don't really ever eat anything that I consider, you know, like French fries, you know, I mean, like every once in a while, of course, but I feel so good from the food that I'm eating. It's like, why would I want to divert so much from that? Because I know what I'm going to feel like. Right. So, you know, I think the SOS diet that we are can fall into is salt, oil, and sugar when we're out at restaurants. That's why the food tastes so good. I think if people spent more time researching and understanding what's in our food and spending a little bit more time cooking at home and trying to eat at least a little bit more from foods that they were sourced, I think everybody would be better. And it's not like I'm some fancy chef. Yeah, I do help people plan their meals and I do cook for people on occasion and help restaurants with recipes, but it's not as, I think, a big mountain to climb. I think it can be really simple. You know, make sure you're including a sweet potato in your diet and make sure you're having those fibrous foods and foods that you know where they came from, right? They don't have a label on them. And include more of those on our plates and less of the other stuff because there's not room. I think you're always going to end up in a positive feeling, a positive mood from it. I think people aren't making the connection. And that's obviously my goal, your goal, right? Like, how do we spread that message?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I was talking with my dad about this the other day, that it wasn't until the late 1800s, early 1900s that, you know, processed food, certainly here in the US, started to gain some traction and started to be advertised and sold. You had corn flakes, you know, that were, I think, like late 1800s, early 1900s, and you had canned foods, and you had all these processed foods start creeping in, right? Up to that point, there was almost no obesity. Very few people were overweight. You know, cancer was pretty much unheard of. In 1905, it was like less than 1% of people were believed to have cancer. Today, it's almost 50%. You know, these autoimmune diseases didn't exist. You know, we have over 100 autoimmune diseases. If you group all the autoimmune diseases together into one disease, it's actually the number one leading cause of death in the U.S. But they don't group them. They keep them separate. They keep rheumatoid arthritis over here. They keep lupus over here. They keep MS over here. They keep all these autoimmune diseases separate. But they're really the same disease. They're the same mechanism for all these diseases, is what a lot of scientists have been discovering in the last 20 years. And so if you group all those together, you know, that's actually kills more people than heart disease and cancer. And these things didn't exist 100 years ago. Like, very few people had any of these diseases, autism, you name it. And it was very unheard of in children. Like, a child to be born with cancer or some other disease was basically, you know, completely unheard of. And now, we study just came out showing 79% increase in cancer diagnoses in
Wow.
young people under 50. Usually we think of cancer, for example, as people 50 and older, which has gone from less than 1% to almost 50%, like in the last 100 years, which is insane. And now we're seeing it in 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds. I was watching Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, I was watching his documentary on Amazon. It's actually really good. He's And one of the football players there on Colorado, the Colorado football team. You know, this kid's what, in his early 20s, just diagnosed with cancer. Like, that was unheard of, and now it's more and more people every single day. And why? I mean, just look at what has changed in the last 100 years. Significantly more processed food. We got more potato chips and canned foods and artificial ingredients and dyes and, you know, foods without fibers, foods that are pasteurized, foods that you can go buy a McDonald's hamburger and set it on your counter and let it sit and it doesn't break down. Like, that is so unnatural. We're so far away from nature with our food today, and then polluted with so many toxins, and then add so much stress on top of that. No
Right.
wonder these diseases have exploded and skyrocketed, right? And so, talking about the principles of a whole food plant-based diet, like, when you're young, you know, in your teens, 20s, like, you can get away with eating just about anything, especially if you're active, and not really notice much. But nowadays, it's getting worse and worse because the food is worse and worse. There's more pesticides, herbicides, fungicides sprayed on the conventional foods, the non-organic foods, more now than ever before, right? And so it's like even younger people are not getting away with as much as they used to 30, 40, 50 years ago, you know? And so you're seeing just this skyrocket in gut issues, chronic inflammation, deficiencies, nutritional deficiencies, vitamin D deficiency is like rampant. We're talking like over 40 plus percent of the global population is deficient in vitamin D. Talking about B12 deficiencies, you know, all kinds of nutritional deficiencies. It's not in the food, and the people aren't getting enough of the real food. So when we're talking about like whole food plant-based, I don't know if you've noticed it, but I know as I continue to get, you know, older year after year, and especially continue to be an athlete, it's like what I eat and put in my body matters exponentially. You know, if
Yep.
I go out and eat a bunch of potato chips and French fries and things like that, which I do once in a while, the more processed food I eat, it's like the worse I feel, versus the more real whole foods, plant foods, home cooked foods, you know, organic tofu and, you know, lentils and beans and kale and bok choy and, you know, these vegetables, fruits, mandarins, bananas, mangoes, pineapples. Like, the more real whole food I eat on a daily basis, the better I feel, the more energy I have, the, you know, I feel more capable in the work that I do, in my athletics, you know, as a father, as a husband. Like, the cleaner you eat, the better you feel, period,
Always.
right? No
Yep.
matter what. And so that's it. I think it's just teaching people those principles and saying, look, start eating this way. Eat this diverse whole food plant-based diet and see how you feel. Now, the other challenge is sometimes there is a culprit or two in your diet that you have to figure out. For me, it took years to figure out, like, my body didn't like corn. I love corn, but my body doesn't like it. Like, it caused some serious issues, and I didn't realize that until, you know, years of dealing with it. It was like, oh, stop eating corn. Okay, that's easy. Like, if that's the solution, like, are you kidding me? Now, a lot of people will go, it's the plant-based diet, right?
Right.
Versus me. I'm like, I know it's not the diet. Like, I know this is all the research I've done, all the interviews I've done, all the papers I've read, all the experience I had. Like, this is, in my opinion, the healthiest diet on the planet. But there's got to be something else here, you know? And that's what, and I found it. But it took me like that investigative, curious
Right.
mindset, and I didn't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but I think far too often people do that.
Yep. They're looking for that, right? They want to prove you wrong because they're like, oh, you're taking our meat away. And it's like, I'm not taking anything away. Like,
Right.
keep doing what you're doing, but then don't, right? And then, like, I'm paying for it with my tax dollars for obesity, but yet you are going to just blame it on the vegan diet. It's like, that is so far away from each other. It's like, it just, we won't go down that rabbit hole. But
Oh, we can if you want to. We can if you want to. That's what this podcast is for. So we can go down any rabbit hole you want to.
I think there's a reason that you and I connected, and I think that's this conversation. Like, when you know, you know. And I think there's a reason why there's, I don't know how many ingredients, I want to say 30 at least ingredients that are banned in other countries, but not here in the United States. What is that telling us? What are we feeding our kids? What are we eating? And
No, 30, no,
back to your
30. I don't think
comment.
it's 30. No, I think it's thousands, actually.
Are you sure?
I think there's thousands. I'll find out. I'll find out right now. But
Okay.
it's a really, really large number, actually.
But remember what you were just talking about, like back in the 1800s, like when some of these foods got introduced and then things started changing. That's the same thing, like with wheat and gluten and nut allergies. Like all of these things did never, they didn't exist, right? Oh wow, here we go.
The European Union has banned more ingredients than the United States. Thousands of the EU has banned thousands of hazardous chemicals. So you said ingredients. I was thinking chemicals. They're both like a lot of these, hazardous chemical ingredients, right? The
Yeah.
US has banned a few dozen. The EU has banned thousands. Like in the EU, for example, red dye 3, titanium dioxide, potassium bromate. One of the principles they have there. This is what I've heard. I'm just remembering this from years ago, that I'm not sure exactly how accurate this is, but it makes a lot of sense if this is how they follow it. It's like you have to prove with ingredients, like you have to prove safety, right, for that ingredient to be passed. And I'll do a quick little search on that to make sure. Versus here, like you don't have to prove safety, right? All you have to do here is prove that, like, in the small doses, in a very small amount for a short amount of time, like you're not going to get cancer, which is insane.
Right.
Okay, so I take red dye 3. Let's just think this through for a second, right? I take red dye 3, and I put in a really small amount in my food or whatever to change the color, and then I give that to you for a few days or a few weeks, and we don't see anything happen, and we go, oh, okay, so it's fine, it's safe, we can add it, no problem, right? And you don't have to do clinical trials on this stuff. Like, you don't have to spend millions of dollars proving this stuff. And so it's allowed into our food supply. But two things. One is even short-term studies, even if they're doing that, which most of these companies I don't think are, don't show anything, because cancer can take decades. It can take anywhere from 5 to 7 years to 15 to 20 years to actually show up in the body. So that's number one. It's like you're not going to know anything in 2 or 3 weeks of looking at something. Number two, you never take that one little small thing in isolation by itself, right?
Right.
Because when you're eating processed foods, you're putting processed chemical lotions on your skin and shampoos and toothpaste and mouthwash and anti-aging creams, all this stuff is filled with literally dozens and dozens and dozens of these chemicals, which may be hazardous to your health. And you add them up, and then you put them on and in your body all day, every day for 25 years. Like, that's what people need to realize what's happening. It's not one little tiny thing in isolation. It's this compound
Right.
effect that's doing all this damage collectively for decades. And then, boom, doctor says you have cancer or heart disease or whatever. And you're like, how? How's that possible? I've been living healthy. It's like, no, you have not. You have been slowly cutting yourself, little cuts every single day for decades, and boom, then everything starts shutting down.
Right. How do we change this? I mean, it's like
Well,
it's
I think we're doing it by talking about it and educating people right now, right? Like, I think that's the key, is like just sharing your story, my story, the research, like helping awaken people who are looking for this kind of information. And I mean, just you're a testament yourself. I mean, look at you. I mean, you look like the picture of health. You're an athlete, you're a business owner, entrepreneur, doing a lot of things. You're 25 years vegan. Like, you're clearly not protein deficient, or unless there's things that I don't know about you, but it seems like you're very healthy and active. You're on the Vegan Strong team. Right, it's like you're thriving, and I think that's a testament right there. It's just live by example, which is exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, but why is it that there's still so much of a negative connotation towards that? You know, like even my daughter who's 13 is, why don't you feed me regular foods? And I allow her to have whatever she wants, but I'm not gonna support the meat or dairy industry, so I don't buy that in the house. When she eats outside of here, obviously it's different, but it's like she's 13, and she thinks that vegan food is is not real food. And it's like, just the opposite. Cheez-Its aren't real food. And that's what she wants, you know? And it's like, I'm trying to give you, you know, there's better versions, which we certainly, I certainly buy them, even though I don't love them because they're so processed. But, you know, there's some potato chips I can find without milk. There are, you know, some foods that, you know, I feed her fresh vegetables and fruit as much as I can. But this stigma that we have as vegans or in plant-based humans is that we are eating some kind of not real food at all. And it's like, it's the complete opposite. Like negative, vegan has such a negative attachment to it. And
you know why I think that
makes
is?
Me so sad.
You know, with the cold and flu season here, it's critically important that we enhance and strengthen our immune systems. Yes, would you agree? The problem is, though, that there's so much confusion out there when it comes to what actually works for our bodies and for our health. Well, I'll tell you what I used. I used Maison Beljansky's wellness products. Maison Beljansky's products are backed by science to not only help empower the immune system, but can support detoxification and contribute to our overall health. Coming from Europe, the all-natural Beljansky formulas are now available in the United States and are recommended by top doctors everywhere. A lot of the colleagues I work with, functional medicine practitioners that work with patients with all kinds of diseases, are recommending Maison Beljansky's products to their very own patients. As a special sponsor of this podcast, Maison Beljansky has included a very special discount offer for all of my listeners. You can get 15% off your first order using the promo code Nathan, and you'll always enjoy free shipping when you order 4 products or more. You can grab your wellness products today at maisonbeljansky.com. That's MAISONBELJANSKI, maisonbeljansky.com, and use code Nathan for 15% off. Hey, welcome back to the podcast. Before we get started, I want to give you a free gift that I have spent over a decade researching thousands of hours of peer-reviewed studies and interviewing hundreds of world-leading functional medical doctors and cancer conquerors that lays out a blueprint for helping your mind and body become a cancer-fighting fortress for natural cancer prevention and healing. And that's my Amazon number one best-selling book, Becoming Cancer Free. The physical copy sells for like 10 bucks on Amazon, which, you know, you can go get that if you want, but I'm happy to give you the ebook absolutely free. Just head over to becomingcancerfree.com and you can download that ebook instantly. Again, that's becomingcancerfree.com, and it's yours as a gift from me to you for tuning into this podcast. All right, let's get to the show.
You know what I think that is? I think it's because, and this is why when I, you know, first became vegan, this was 2000, this is when my daughter was born. She's the same age as your daughter, she's 14. This was 2010. I dove in head first and went, you know, raw vegan for a year. And it was very, like, I had a lot of fun and made friends and colleagues, and I produced some huge raw living expos and things like that. And we, you know, it was an awesome group of people. But I saw pretty quickly how it became kind of cultish in the raw community. And then, I'm not saying everybody, I'm just saying what I saw in my experience. But then I also noticed, and I was this way too at first, for the first few years, where like I became very cult minded in the sense that like, oh, I'm vegan, this is saving animals, this is the best thing to do for the planet. Everybody has to be this way, right? And so I start like just pushing my beliefs on everybody else. I eventually woke up from that and realized, okay, that's not the way to create change. That's not the way to help people. That's not the way to actually, you know, create good on the planet. When you're just like constantly forcing your beliefs on other people, you just push them away, right? And so
right.
I stopped doing about it and I just started accepting everybody. Whatever they do, you want to do carnivore, you want to do keto, you want to do whatever, like totally fine. You can be in my house, we can hang out, we can be friends. Like it doesn't bother me. It's funny, I'll go out to dinner and even long-term friends, believe it or not, like I had friends the other day we hadn't seen for a couple of years. These are good friends of mine in their 70s and 80s, and we've known each other for years, and we went out to lunch, and they're like, yeah, is it okay if I order this meat, whatever it was? I don't even remember what it was. I was like, of course, you don't have to ask me. Like, I could care less, you know what I mean? Like, but that's the stigma because so many vegans today are like in your face about it. And the more in your face, you know, any vegan listening to this, please stop pushing veganism into other people's faces because it does not help them at all. It doesn't
Our
help
cause.
us. It doesn't help anybody, right? You're not helping the animals. You're not, by going out and throwing blood on a freaking, you know, $1 million painting and like screaming at people, like, that's not the way to wake people up to, you know, a healthier diet, a more compassionate diet. The way to do it is to do what you and I are doing right now, which is like live by example, show compassion, educate, share education and solutions, and people who are ready will come look for it. Yeah, we need people that are out there kind of, you know, setting up picket fences and stuff like that, you know, picket lines, whatever. Like, we need that kind of warrior energy too, but not so much like in your face, do this or you're a terrible person. Like, that
Right.
just doesn't, you know, people going in and like breaking into, you know, animal slaughterhouses and freeing animals and stuff. Like, I'm like, that's cool. Like, you know, like you're like trying to do something to show people you care about animals. Like, they're putting people in prison for that though, which is mind blowing. But the moment you
Right.
start forcing your beliefs on somebody else, like, you're just going to push them away. And I think that's been the biggest problem that we've seen.
Yeah, I agree. And also too, it's like leading by example and being very subtle about it to me is way easier on us, right? Like then I'm not worried about what everybody is eating. I'm like, okay, you know, you why don't you if you just I'm eating some dessert right here, if you want a bite of it, by all means. And then they're always shocked at, oh my God, this is so good. It's like, well, yeah, I don't. Just because I'm vegan doesn't make me not a foodie. I'm a big foodie. You
Yeah.
know, I work with restaurants to help them get more creative dishes on their menu that are plant-based and not just a Beyond Meat burger, right? Like, let's think outside the box. It's like not anything I'm eating is not something that tastes bad. I mean, I would sway the other way. You know, it's like eating plant-based is like to me a luxury of flavors. You know, people forget it's like you're fixated on your fish, your turkey, your steak, your the chicken, whatever your the protein source is, and you fail to see the plethora of protein sources that we have and what we can create with that. You know, mushrooms and seitan and tempeh and tofu and beans and mushrooms and I mean, let's get real. The creative side of being a plant-based human is pretty lucky. I mean, we have a lot to work with, you know?
It's
And
unlimited. It's unlimited for sure.
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love where it's headed too. I mean, more and more companies are really starting to dip their toe in it. It's awesome to watch it.
I actually see a huge, I'm very positive minded, hopeful in the sense that, like, I see more and more mainstream people, celebrities, media, etc., talking about plant-based, talking about vegan, vegetarian, like sharing their own personal stories, you know, talking about it in a positive light on the media. Like, there's a lot of, I think, people kind of waking up and realizing in a mainstream, you know, from main, like, huge channels and spokespeople that are really talking about it. And so there's pros and cons to that, because then there's like the corporate side, which comes in with more and more processed vegan foods, right? Like, highly
Right.
processed, like laboratory, manufactured, lots of chemicals, preservatives, just to capitalize on, you know, that market share, which to
Right.
me is like, is that better? I don't know. Like, yeah, you're not, you know, the compassion side is better because you're not harming and killing all these innocent animals, which I think is beautiful that it supports with that. I don't think most of these companies care about that, right? They're really doing it for the profit.
Right.
But so yeah, it's better for the animals. Is it better for people? Like, I don't know. There's been some short-term studies on like the Impossible Burger versus like animal products showing, yeah, it's still healthier, like the Impossible Burger. But again, these are shorter term studies. I'm not totally convinced yet. I mean, especially long term, like if you're eating a very clean omnivore diet, I'm just talking health for a minute. Let's put compassion, spirituality, sustainability aside, but like very clean omnivore diet versus like a highly processed vegan diet. Like I'm not sure the highly processed vegan diet would win against a very clean omnivore diet that has fruits and vegetables and nuts and grains and seeds and beans with, you
Right.
know, more like
100%.
let's call it cleaner meats, right? Like I think health-wise, you're probably gonna do better on that than a junk food vegan diet. But you don't have to do junk food vegan diet. You can do a really clean, delicious, tasty, super nutritious whole food plant-based diet, or mostly whole food plant-based diet. It could be even I teach my clients like 80% whole food, right? Like if you're gonna at least 80% and you're gonna see significant benefits. Yeah, have some potato chips once in a while, have some cereals once in a while, but choose organic and the least processed, but get most of your calories from real whole foods, and you're going to see such a huge difference. Now you compare that to any other diet on the planet, and if it's well balanced, you know, this has been shown again and again, especially with a lot of the doctors I work with, you know, with their patients, that like it just their patients just thrive on that diet.
Yep. Right. And I think too, some going back to talking about some of the companies that you just touched on, even Impossible Burger and Beyond Burger, some of the mainstream companies that have created some plant-based or some vegan options, they, because of demand from consumers, are now making them healthier. And you're seeing that. Like I'm seeing the headlines on the packaging, like 75% better than the first version, or however they word it.
Oh, I
They
didn't know
are
that. That's
listening.
good to know. So people are, you know, that's the cool thing about us as individuals. People go, well, what can I do? Well, you vote with your dollar, you vote with your voice, right? I mean, that's really it. It's like you show what you want by what you buy and by what you share on social media and so forth. And then the companies are gonna change because they don't want to lose the money. So, you know, it's like we're really powerful wherever we spend our money.
I think it's I have them in my freezer right now. I want to say it is, I don't know, it's either Beyond or Impossible is like 75%, and now it's healthier, and now it's made with avocado oil. So I mean, they definitely are listening, and I think making some changes, which again, as a collective cause of making the world a healthier planet and more sustainable, right? Like these are options that can be healthy and sustainable and not so much of a chemical, version of some of the foods that we still want to enjoy. Because like, who doesn't want a hamburger every once in a while and some french fries, right? But let's make it so it can be also not detrimental to our health. If you're gonna be plant-based, right? We don't want that junk food plant-based diet, but still want to dabble in the flavors every once in a while. Like it's a hard niche to be in because you're trying to supply the masses, right? You want people to enjoy it, but also it be healthy. So yeah, I think they're listening. I mean, it's every time I go to the grocery store, and that's when I have time, I love to, be able to look around at what's going on. I mean, Kraft macaroni and cheese now has a vegan version. I haven't read the ingredients. It's not something I would probably ever eat, like some kind of powdered sugar or powdered cheese thing, even though it's plant-based or vegan. Doesn't appeal to me, but I'm excited that it's there, right? Because any less dairy you put in your body, the better. That's my like number one thing for all my patients is get off the dairy. And so to see a product like that out there is exciting. And it's in the I don't have to go to just Whole Foods. I can go to, and since you're in Florida, you have Publix. So I can go to Publix and find more things all in one spot is great because as consumers, we want to make it easy for everybody, right? To lean into that more. So companies like Kraft and Impossible and Beyond that are making changes, I applaud them.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I do
Oh,
want
you
to
know
share.
what?
Oh,
One
go
thing
ahead.
I forgot that I wanted to talk about that you had mentioned. So you said that you were, when I have you on my podcast, I'll probably ask you this again, but you said that you initially became a raw vegan. So what caused you to head in that path? I'm very curious.
So in two, I mean, the long, yeah, if you ask me on your podcast, I can share a longer version of the backstory. But basically, I was really sick by 18 years old, very weak, skinny, gut issues, skin issues, all kinds of health issues. And that was my lifestyle leading up to that. And then I really wanted to get healthy, 18, 19, 20, did like my first cleanse, the master cleanse, and started learning about health and diet and nutrition, started watching documentaries. One of the first documentaries I watched that was such a big eye opener for me was a film called, it was a film about the Gerson therapy, Max Gerson, and how they were healing cancer using, you know, a vegan diet, primarily raw diet, lots of juices, things like that. And I'll have to look up the name of the film. It's an old film, but it was one of the first ones I saw that was like, ah, interesting. Like, okay, I want to be healthy, so food matters. And wow, these guys are healing cancer on this diet, on this raw diet, this vegan diet. Like, wow, this is so fascinating, right? So that kind of opened my eyes. Then I started experimenting a little bit. Like I said, I was doing some cleanses, some fasting, and like the more in tune I got with my body, the more kind of documentaries I was watching. I think I watched.
Did you watch Forks Over Knives?
You know, I don't ever think I watched that back then. I know it's a big one that changed a lot of people's mindsets. I saw a few other ones that aren't like so popular in kind of the plant-based community, but that really opened my eyes. Another one I saw was the guy who did like, I think a juice fast for like 90 days or something like that and lost like 180 pounds or whatever and, you know, healed all kinds of diseases. And then I started meeting people and talking to people. And so for me, it started with health and started cleaning up my diet. Same thing. I think dairy was the first thing to go. And like you start feeling better, right? You're like, you start noticing things like, okay, I'm feeling better without this. This is great. And then it became kind of a goal, was like, you know what? I think I'm going to do this plant-based thing. And so it was cutting out red meat, and then months later, eventually chicken, and then the last thing to go for me was fish. And so that was like, I don't know, a multi-month period of time where each of those things, you know, I started cutting out of my diet. And at the same time, like as I was really diving into my spiritual journey and meditating more and, you know, reading more spiritual books and spending more time with Buddhist monks and, you know, really diving into the compassionate spiritual side of it too, I was like, oh, this makes a lot of sense. It's not only good for my health, but I am practicing more compassion for all the living beings on this planet by not killing them and eating them and making them suffer. And oh, I don't need to do that. Actually, I started meeting all these people that are thriving on a vegan diet, and at that time a raw vegan diet. I was like, wow, this is awesome. Like, I can be compassionate towards animals. You know, I'm seeing how, wow, if we grow our own food and do permaculture and do organic sustainable farming, right? You know, we have a healthy relationship with animals. Like, it's way more sustainable for the planet. You know, so it's just those three things that, like, in a within probably about a year, as I just, when I learn something and I'm interested in something, I just go all in, right? So like I'm watching film after film after film, you know, talking to people, interviewing, experimenting with myself, doing cleanses, noticing the differences. And so then it was just like, boom, I'm all in, right? We're going 100% raw vegan. And so that was kind of the tipping point there, kind of the lead up to it.
That's awesome. I love to hear people's stories because a lot of people come, they start with health and then they sort of learn about so many other things about it too. And it's like, it is this whole mind body connection. And we often forget that this is attached to the rest of us. And it's like, I wish people could grasp that. And I loved that you shared that with me because I didn't know that about you. And it is a very synergistic way to live and to see the world differently and to not be pushing it out there as your own agenda, but to just be the example and to want to other people to feel that way without the pressure of it, but just to live it. And I think that's, you know, again, getting that message out is the best way and the holistic way, right? It's just to do what we're doing, you and I collectively, and then trying to just share it in a non-pushy way.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, there's something to be said from a spiritual side that every major spiritual community on the planet has adopted some form of compassion into their philosophies and practices, whether it's the Buddha and Buddhists who have primarily been vegetarian and plant-based, you know, for thousands of years. Of course, there are some Buddhists who don't follow that, but, you know, the Buddha's teachings was about do no harm, do not kill any sentient being the best that you can, and, you know, give it your best effort. And so that meant being, you know, vegetarian and plant-based at the time. All the teachings, the yogic teachings out of India have always promoted, you know, a vegetarian diet, a loving animals diet, compassionate diet. And these, you know, India has produced some of the most incredible saintly Jesus-like people and incredible enlightened human beings in the whole planet. I mean, we're talking some of the most beautiful, spiritually advanced, you know, saints around the world have all come out of India, have all come out of a plant-based diet, right? Even Jesus, if you watch the film, the recent film, which I encourage everyone to go watch if you haven't seen it yet, which is called Christspiracy, they make a really great case for Jesus actually most likely being a vegetarian, which I, you know, I even thought, like really early on, I was like, oh yeah, Jesus was probably vegetarian. Like he most likely did not eat meat. Like it didn't, because of the teachings. And then I also started spending time with the Essenes, and Jesus was most likely part of the Essenes and trained by the Essenes. And the Essenes were very strict plant-based, for compassion out of the animals, for higher spiritual awareness, you know. And anybody who's ever done a juice fast or been very clean, organic, raw, vegan, you know that your mind is heightened, your awareness is heightened, your senses are heightened. I'm doing a 5-day fast right now, and it's like I'm on day two, and it's like things are already feeling heightened. There's something about putting in clean plant foods into your body, or taking a break from all foods, really, but like, let's just say juice fasting or juice feasting, for example, or just raw vegan, like where your meditations are deeper, your mental clarity is higher, you feel a deeper bond and connection and more compassion. There's something about the vibration in these high living foods that when we put into our body, literally energizes and lifts up our own vibration. We know everything in the universe is vibration, whether you study, you know, quantum physics or you study the ancient teachings out of yoga, out of India. It's like everything is vibration, everything's frequency. And we're putting, I heard this really early on, was like, yeah, you kill an animal and you're putting that dead, often fearful, low yeah. energy meat into your body. What do you think it's going to do to you long term? Is it going to raise your exactly. vibration, or is it going to lower your vibration?
And what was the amount of cortisol in that animal dealing with up until they were killed? And where does that cortisol go in their bodies, right? Like people can't wrap their brains around that. Yeah, you're eating a dead animal. Like there's nothing alive and thriving and fiber and nutrients comparatively to a bowl of lentils.
Except parasites. There's usually living parasites in a lot of the meats nowadays. So yes. you might get some unfriendly parasites when you eat meat. Have you seen some of those videos where they look at like a hot dog, for example? That's not real meat, right? That's carcinogenic processed meat. And they open it up and you see like microplastics inside it. You see parasites wiggling around in there. You see all the, it's like, oh my God. Like, ugh. The fact that I even, I was actually at a, I was speaking at a Wanderlust retreat in Mexico recently, and one of the guys, you know, they have the most amazing like plant-based food there. It's so delicious and incredible and like gourmet. And then one of the guys went to the hotel next door and got a hot dog, and he brought a hot dog on like with some ketchup over to, you know, where one of the guys attending the retreat. It was so funny. He, like, we're like all sitting there eating all this, you know, healthy, delicious, clean plant-based food, and he comes over with his plate and his hot dog, and I'm just like, what are you doing? And all I can think of when I see hot dogs now is like the inside of it with like microplastics and all kinds of things that are in there and parasites wiggling around, and I'm just like, oh, if you only knew what that was doing to your body.
Yeah, and now they're finding it when women have their when they are pregnant and they go for their sonograms, they're seeing, you can see the microplastics in the fetus. That's and great. It's like, wow, if that isn't enlightening, like what we are putting into our bodies, and then it, how will we adapt to that? Then, I mean, it's just, it's sad. It's really sad. And hopefully we can, you know, again, make some changes in the near future with some of what's going on in our food system.
Yeah. That's, I mean, to be fair, there's microplastics in everything, right? Plant-based foods.
Oh yeah.
Everything. I mean, I know you know that, but for people who don't, it's like, we're not saying that, oh, you're only getting microplastics when you're, I mean, if you drink a single, this study came out when I was right. I found it right before I was giving a lecture on the vegan cruise last year. And it just blew my mind. It was like, in a single bottle of water, so a bottled water has something like 100,000 microplastics in it. So if you're drinking bottled water, you are literally like turning your body into a plastic waste dump. And those microplastics, yep, are endocrine disruptors. We know that they go in and they start to mess with our hormones, you know? And so eating things like soybeans and tofu and tempeh is actually going to help counter the effects that these xenoestrogens have on our body. And people think, oh, I eat soy and that's going to increase my estrogen. No, in fact, it does not. It does the opposite. Right. It does what your body needs. It attaches to the beta cell receptor, and it actually supports healthy hormones in men and women. And so there's this huge push to avoid soy. And I would say, yeah, avoid any conventional soy and highly processed soy. But when you're talking organic soy and you're talking edamame, tofu, tempeh, right? These are super low process. You're talking like water and calcium, for example, and fermentation supports digestion, right? Like all the studies we have show lower breast cancer risk. Like, so estrogen-based cancers, lower breast cancer risk, lower, significantly lower prostate cancer risk. So these hormone-related cancers in men and women, lower cancer altogether. We see, you know, reduced all-cause mortality. We see just tremendous improvement in longevity and anti-aging. So soy is one of the healthiest things you can put into your body.
100%. And the polyphenols, right? The polyphenols, like no one's talking about that in soy. Like those are things that are so helpful.
Yeah, the phytoestrogen, the plant estrogen is an isoflavonoid, which means it actually has anti-cancer and all kinds of protective benefits for your body, helps balance your hormone system. It actually helps counter a lot of those xenoestrogens from the plastics from attaching to our estrogen receptors. So like there's so many benefits to soy, and that you got all this misinformation out there pushing people away from soy. But again, like it's gotta be organic, because most of soy out there is GMO sprayed with heavy, heavy herbicides and pesticides. So it's got to be organic. Some people don't do well with soy, and that's fine. But, you know, you've got lentils, you've got chickpeas, you know, you've got, sometimes it's just trying a fermented soy, natto or tempeh, and seeing its fermentation process, and you can do well with it. But, I want to talk to you about protein for a second, because you said you don't worry too much about protein, but I do know definitely in the plant-based community, if you look at the studies, there's a significant portion of people who are vegetarian and vegan who are actually deficient in protein. And this is absolute fact. Like there's a good percentage of people who are not getting enough amino acids, especially if you're active or you're over 50. And there's a good percentage of people on an omnivore diet who are not getting enough. It's not just a vegan vegetarian problem, by the way. It's actually become a global problem that this old RDA of protein that we used to think was the number, which you could get with like a cup of black beans for most people, you know, 130, 120 pound woman, for example, maybe a cup of black beans would get the protein that she needs. That old RDA is antiquated. We have so much more research the last 30 years from Dr. Stuart Phillips and all his team showing that when we go above that, almost double that, we still see significant benefits for muscle protein synthesis, anti-aging benefits. And I'm not talking about like bodybuilder level protein. We're not talking about a gram per pound. We're talking closer to like 0.7 grams per pound. But you see that bone density goes up in older people. You see that you know, muscle protein synthesis continues, which is really important as we age, right? You get 50, 60, 70, like holding on to bone density, holding on to your lean muscle is directly correlated to, you know, living a healthier, stronger life with less sarcopenia, less disease. And so that's the reason why, like, I am really focused on protein now, educating people about protein, because I didn't think it was that important. But as an athlete, I've realized how important it is. The more protein I put in my body is like the stronger and fitter and healthier I became. But then the older clients I work with as well, we get them more high quality plant-based proteins in their diet and they just start thriving, right? So, I mean, yeah, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I guess I misspoke when I said that, like, I'm not focused on protein. I'm very focused on protein. I don't worry about it because I know that I'm getting it. So maybe when I was talking earlier, the way that came out might have sounded like that I don't think about it or I'm not focused on it, but I am. And I obviously, when I'm working with patients, I'm making sure, especially the older ones, like you just said, that they are getting enough. And there's a lot of ways to get it in that people just, again, they don't know that hemp hearts, you know, have over 10 grams of protein and 9 grams of fiber. And like, they don't taste like anything. You can sneak it into every meal you have, throw it in your shakes with your protein powder, throw it into your salad, which I do on a daily basis. You're having a sweet potato for dinner with some beans, sprinkle it on top of there. It's easy ways to sneak things in. The same thing with chia seeds. And again, they're nutrient dense, high on the protein, high on the fiber, things that we need and that we're missing out on other types of diets. Protein is in so many foods that people don't account for. People don't think of proteins in broccoli. They don't think about the protein they're getting when they do have a handful of nuts, you know? And if you add those items in throughout your day, most people can hit their target. But again, you have to be focused on, okay, where am I getting it? If I have a salad for lunch, what component of it is protein? You know, are you adding beans, lentils to it, chickpeas, kidney beans, and then sprinkling some hemp hearts and chia seeds on it and maybe some walnuts? Now you've really upped your protein without really having to change much about flavor or adding something that you wouldn't like. Nutritional yeast is something I use and sprinkle in a lot of different things because it is high in B12. So like there's easy ways when you're plant-based to do it. You just have to have the knowledge to do it and those ways to sneak it in. And, you know, make sure you're eating a lot of broccoli and make sure you're eating, you know, the seeds and nuts. Sneak those into all areas of your diet and you will hit your numbers. Make sure you're, you know, including tofu in your diet and beans and a variety of things. And that's my big takeaway for most people is to get them to understand that diversity in the plant world is really crucial because that helps really support your gut microbiome. And we haven't really talked about that much about it in our conversation today, but that gut health and strengthening our immune system is a huge part of being plant-based. And that's what is making us more healthier as a whole food plant-based individual. It's yes, we're still getting enough protein, but we're also really feeding that gut microbiome. And that's a huge thing that I teach my patients is you got to feed like you're feeding for two, you're feeding your taste buds, right? But you want to feed your gut, you know, and that healthy gut is something that is crucial and really important. So diversity is key. And whether that is with your different types of beans or your different types of tofu, whether it be edamame or tofu or seitan or tempeh, but then also to look at diversifying your seasonings. You know, throw some turmeric in there, throw some garlic, and then next week try a different fruit, try a different vegetable. Constantly be eating what's in season and what's organic, but also, like, again, trying new things. You might find something that you like, which I think a lot of us do when we're on a plant-based diet, is include some of these foods that we've never even tried before: vegetables, fruits, seasonings, different protein sources, different beans, and really different types of potatoes, different types of beets. I didn't know how many different types of beets there were till recently, you know, and again, with that diversity is so key, right? And you can easily hit your protein goals, but yes, you do have to look at it and sort of know, all right, half a cup of edamame in this salad, that'll give me X amount of protein. Let me 3 tablespoons of hemp hearts. That's going to give me over 10 grams of protein. I mean, in my salad every day, I'm almost at 40 grams of protein in a salad.
Nice.
Yeah. And tahini is a squeezable tahini is a great salad dressing, like, secret. It's what I squeeze on my salad every day. And you're getting protein, great essential healthy fats. And again, no process. It's just sesame seeds that are crushed. But there's a great amount of flavor in that too. So
yeah. Beautiful. That was great. That was great tips, great things to think about, and great kind of hacks to make sure you get enough protein throughout the day. And that's it. Like, it is, like you said, it is easy once you know what to do. Like, I don't worry about it. Like, the reason we came up with the protein powder is because, one, I wanted to create a really clean product that makes it easy for people to get their protein. Like, I know sometimes, like, I'm on the go, I just had a hard workout or whatever, and I don't, you know, sometimes I want some pasta or whatever, some lentil pasta, and, like, I know for dinner that's not going to really hit my protein goals, so I'll just have a shake, you know, after or before it, and I know, like, I'm getting the protein that I need, but I'm getting high quality plant-based protein. So, you know, that's adding in a protein shake for people can be a game changer. And they're not used to getting enough protein, but then just educating and adding these other things in, like you said, hemp seeds are amazing. I usually add them to my smoothies, but add them to your salads and cereals and stuff like that can be super helpful. I like the tahini, dressing, right? Idea. That's a great one. And all your vegetables have protein, you know, broccoli, you know, the more vegetables you eat, then it's just a more balanced diet. Like, if usually a plate, like a lunch or dinner for me, might look like quinoa, sweet potato, you know, broccoli and tofu. And that's like 50 grams of protein for me in one meal, you know, and I get 2 of those a day, protein shake, smoothie in the morning, you know, it's like I'm hitting my protein number, that 0.7 grams per pound, pretty easily. Actually even getting more than that very easily, but you got to educate yourself and know what to do and kind of keep track a little bit just to make sure. And then most people don't want to count macros, and I tell people you don't have to, but maybe count protein for a few days and just see, so you know where your protein numbers are coming from.
Yep. I always have my patients do it for 3 days. I said, look, 3 days, and that'll give us a little bit of a blueprint, and let's see where you are. You know, maybe we need to adjust it, but let's get just a baseline of actually how much protein you are eating, how many carbs you're eating, and how much fat you're eating. Like, let's look at that. And then let's look at the quality of that food. And is it organic? And how can we make those little changes by, you know, adding the hemp hearts in and adding a little tahini here and there. And just tweaking, making tweaks so they don't feel like they're necessarily having to overhaul everything that they're doing, but just to start these, and you mentioned this earlier, those like micro habits, these little tiny micro habits, they add up to much bigger things. Throwing in a protein shake, I think, is a great idea, because that could be such an easy meal that you're not having to work and chop up a million vegetables for, right? But that you're getting all your protein, and in your protein powder, the fact that it has the adaptogens, like, that is such a great additive to have, that is going to help with so many other areas of your life, not just getting your protein. And so I think, you know, and then adding some fruit to that, throwing your hemp hearts in there, I mean, you're really just setting yourself up for a successful day.
Yeah, exactly. Well, awesome, Erin. Thanks so much for coming on. It's been a great conversation. I think we talked about 100 other things, but maybe we can do it on your podcast. We can continue there. So yeah, thanks for taking the time, and appreciate you. And what's the best place for people to get in touch with you?
Most people can just get a hold of me through Instagram. That's the easiest, at the Good Mood Foods, or my personal one, which is at Aaron DeMarinas. And yeah, I'm usually pretty easy to reach through there.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. It's been great to connect with you.
Thank you.
All right.
Great conversation.
Thank you for listening to the Nathan Crane Podcast. Please make sure to subscribe and share this on social media. Then head over to nathancrane.com for your free ebook.
So when we're talking about, you know, what are these underlying causes and conditions of these chronic diseases, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, they all have very similar, if not identical, causes. And that's the thing, is when we get to the root cause of these diseases, we can not only prevent these diseases from ever happening, but empower our bodies to heal from them.
In every one of our cells, we have tens and hundreds of thousands of chemical reactions that are happening every second that are cycling back and forth. It's like sort of a yin and yang.
And, you know, for me, the soul's purpose is evolution. It doesn't care about comfort. It cares about evolution. Mm. And so I think so long as we are following our soul, then we will evolve. And I think what sometimes blocks us from living our purpose, from manifesting that next level of our expression, is we have not evolved.
There is also a time for letting go all the expectations and relax and just breathe and be grateful for what you have achieved.